time for us to bring in Bill Belichick. A power outage down there in Foxborough today, so therefore we're doing this all by phone.
He's going crazy.
Are you going crazy yet, Bill?
No. We're actually, we're starting to, get things back to normal. Glenn, Teddy, Michael, how you guys doing?
Bill, how you doing, Bill?
Vince did tell us that you did force them to watch the film at least from Saturday night, so you've apparently found some power for that.
Yeah, we did.
We got
enough to get up there. It was a challenge, but no, we watched the film and we made some corrections, talked about some things, and it's time to move on.
You talked about it after the game. I always find this interesting. You said, we didn't do anything. We didn't play well in all phases of the game, and we didn't coach it, and we didn't do that. When it comes to coaching, how does that manifest? When you look back at the film and you look at yourself and your coaching staff, what could you have done better as a staff that you feel that you didn't do in the game?
Well, obviously, when you go out and play like that, I don't know how you could feel very good about the way the team was prepared and the way they performed. So,
Bill, did it?
I didn't go out there and play, but it's my job to prepare the team, and based on the way we played, not much that I could take pride in there.
Yeah, Bill. The performance on the field, obviously, did it bother you at all that, the Detroit, it looked like they were ready for that game. The players looked like they were out there to prove a point. The lack of the team responding, Ndamukong Suh pushing guys around, offensive linemen laying on linebackers. Was it just the performance, or did it disappoint you that they didn't push back?
I'd say probably a little combination of all that. We didn't get off to a very good start, obviously, and then once we kind of saw that we were a little bit on the defensive mode, we didn't do much to turn it around, and in some cases we just made it easier for them with turnovers and long yardage situations with negative plays and sacks and penalties. And then we kept it going defensively with more big plays and letting them out of some long yardage situations. Not that we had them in a lot of them, but we let them out on some screens and scrambles. And we didn't do much in the return game to help ourselves. We were just inconsistent in a lot of areas, and we were just never able to get it going and get it back to a competitive game.
You had a screen for 11 yards and 52 yards in the game. You think you'll be working on a little screen pursuit this week?
Yeah, we sure will. That and a lot of other things. But so, we just didn't do enough things to really give ourselves a chance. And again, certainly a big part of that's my responsibility. We didn't, none of us performed well. That's obvious.
We've got a good look now, Bill. The last 3 weeks of the defense and how it's been, primarily 4-3. I'm watching the team and the defensive unit, and it's like, man, is this unit becoming one dimensional? The strength has always been keeping offenses, guessing on what the defense was going to run. Is it looking like it's a 4-3 base, or you still got some tricks up your sleeve?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think preseason is always important to try to get your fundamentals down, and it's obvious we need a lot of work on those. So I think before we start, going into other areas in any phase of the game, we need to make sure that we can do the basic fundamental things right, and we didn't do a very good job of that against Detroit in anything, offense, defense, special teams, and we weren't very consistent. So I think that's the major emphasis that we need to focus on, is just getting the basics right and, give ourselves a chance.
Bill, some of us were surprised by the news today that James Sanders was released. He played 6 years for you. Can you just give us some insight into that decision to move on from Sanders?
Well, it's always tough when you have to release players, especially guys that have played for you and won for you. James has certainly done a lot of that. He's played a lot of good football here. Been a solid team player and a good teammate and a good member of the team, but ultimately we have to try to make the decisions that we feel are best for the team, and so that's the unfortunate part of this job, and we'll be doing it again next week or later on this week, whatever it is, end of the week. So it's a tough part of the business, but one that we all enter into with open eyes. So that's the way it goes.
Is this going to be a lot different this week, Bill, in that it's compressed so much? 10 let go today to get down to 80, and then you've got to get down to 53. When is it? Saturday night, is that right? I mean, does that make it a little bit different? And there are going to be a lot of players out there, right?
You know, it's about the way it always is. I mean, this year it's just the 90 to 80, but, you know, it's always been the, or most recently it's been the, you know, the 80 to 53, so, or 75 to 53, you know, whatever. So it's usually like that. A lot of guys right at the end. And you're trying to balance a lot of different things with your team, you know, young players and injuries and getting ready for the opener and trying to figure out where you're going to be at midseason or where you think your team's going to be. You know, where you hope it is by the end of the year when some players develop. So, you know, managing the salary cap, so forth and so on. So there's a lot of different factors there.
Bill, it was obvious about the pressure the Detroit Lion front four was able to get on Tom Brady, the shots on him, not only when did they sack him, but when they're close, taking that one step and Sue pushing him to the ground or getting a hit on him or something like that. Any adjustments that you think you need to make offensively in terms of offensive line-wise to shore that up, to make sure that doesn't happen on a consistent basis?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to have to block, you know, we're going to have to block him better than we did in that game, but that's... You know, we're going to have to do a lot of things better, throw better, catch better, block better, run better, and stay at a long yardage. You know, we had so many plays where we were, you know, more than 10 yards. I mean, you know, you get the ball, it's first and 10. So when you have, you know, over 10 plays where you need more than 10 yards in the first half, I mean, it means you're going backwards. And that's not, you know, that's not the way you want to play the game on offense. So we've got to do a better job all the way around. The more long yardage situations we're in, the more any quarterback's going to get hit. I mean, those are the facts. Can't be in second and 21, third and 31, second and 13, you know, all day. It's impossible.
Hey, Bill, did your performance in Game 3 affect your plan of how to approach Game 4? In other words, if the guys had played better, if your starters had played better, if your team had played better in Game 3, were they going to be getting Game 4 off, and since they didn't play well in Game 3, or some guys going to play in Game 4 that you didn't expect to play in Game 4?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we played pretty close to the same way this year that we played last year against the Rams, so I mean, that was a pretty uninspiring performance as well. So, you know, I think each year you have to make the decisions that you feel are best for your football team, and so that's what we'll try to do. We got through the film today, and certainly a lot of things we need to practice and work on this week. We'll work on those and figure out tomorrow night and Wednesday how we want to allocate the playing time against the Giants.
Is there ever a factor in what guys you're going to play based on what the other team is going to play? But the Giants are playing tonight, then they're playing back again on Thursday.
I mean, I know what you're saying, Glenn. Yeah. I can't really worry about the Giants. You know, I think my job and our job as a staff is to coach our team, prepare our team. We really can't worry about what the Giants are doing or not doing. We don't have any control over that. And just try to emphasize, you know, doing the things that we need to do, getting those right, and those are our priorities. And you know, if that, you know, doesn't work well for the other team, I mean, that's too bad. Same thing with, you know, playing Lions or playing, you know, any of our preseason opponents. You know, I know those teams and those coaches have to work on things that they feel like they need to work on. And, you know, whether that suits us or not, it doesn't really matter. I understand they're trying to get their team ready, and, you know, we're trying to do the same thing. So,
Bill, I wanted to ask you a technical question about the cornerback position. The Detroit Lions had a couple big receivers in Stovall and Johnson, and they had some success. Is there a technical difference how you tell them to play, whether you turn into them or turn away from them? Because, I mean, down the line, you know, Plaxico Burress, Brandon Marshall, you're going to go up against some big receivers. So those cornerbacks, the right and the wrong way to play when a receiver has got you by about 4 inches.
Yeah, absolutely, Teddy. We're the way you put it, I think, is perfectly stated. We're going to see a lot of other big receivers. This certainly isn't the last group of talented receivers that we're going to see. They're big guys that they'll chuck it down the field to. And you know, I think in the plays that we were involved in, where the ball was put down the field, even though they came up with them. I think, you know, in a lot of cases the coverage was pretty good. You know, one was an underthrown ball and a couple other ones, you know, we were close on a couple of we were able to break up. And, you know, as you know, at that position, whether you're the receiver or the cornerback, when that ball's in the air 40 yards down the field, there's such a fine line between success and failure. And I think we just got to keep working harder to, you know, do all the things right and play perfect technique with different types of receivers, big receivers like these guys, or, you know, the faster, quicker guys, or the guys that are, you know, some guys are taller and don't jump as well. The guys are maybe a little smaller and jump better or more dangerous on the back shoulder throws, things like that. So we've just got to work to perfect our techniques and playing the ball. And at the same time, offensively, when we have our chances to make those plays down the field, we got to come up with the ball. And so it's a constant struggle at that position to just, you know, fine-tune the timing your jump, playing the ball at the high point, using your body to shield the defender, receiver, whichever side of it you're on, when to look back for the ball, when to turn into the receiver, when to play through his hands, when to try to play the ball, when to push him out of bounds, you know, all those things. And it's a lot of little things, but, you know, they add up to a critical part of that deep ball play. So I think all the way around we just need to work more on that on both sides, both offensively coming up with it and defensively defending it.
Bill, I want to ask you about a receiver on your team, Chad Ochocinco. Just a couple of things. One, did you agree with the call early in the game, the offensive pass interference on Ochocinco? Because you look at the replay, it looked like he was just being blown up. But did you see something else that would justify the official's call?
Well, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't really matter what we think about the calls. We're not the ones making them. So if they call us for a foul, then we need to execute plays and execute our techniques in such a way that we don't get called for it. So I think that's what we have to take from you know, that play and I'd say some other plays in the game too. We've got to do a better job of technique in the play and doing things in a way where we're not penalized, where it's not a foul.
And also with him, it just seems like he's struggling a bit to hold on to the football. We're trying to figure out if it's a verbiage thing coming to a new system or if he's putting too much pressure on himself. Do you see him making strides with his familiarity with the offense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, without a doubt. I think he's made a lot of strides with the offense and, you know, the time he's been here, and we've thrown a lot at him. And there's still a ways to go, so I think, getting open, catching the ball, and working on timing with the quarterback in the passing game and the coordination with the other receivers and so forth, the passing game is so dependent on that. And I think as a total unit, you know, we just got to do a better job. But Chad's working hard on it. I think he's definitely getting better. I think our passing game is getting better. It didn't all show up in the game against Detroit, obviously. It's hard for anybody to look at that game and say, you know, I see improvement, but I'm saying on a daily basis, when we go out there and practice and even some aspects of it in the game, you know, we're better. It's still got to be more consistent and better than that.
The NFL announced today that you are the subject of part one, their first in apparently a series of A Football Life, Bill Belichick, A Football Life. Now, we've joked in the past about Hard Knocks with you. I know you're a huge fan of NFL films, but I think most people would be shocked to know that you were the first person ever wired for an entire season by NFL films. Should we be surprised at that you agreed to do that?
Did you keep it clean, Bill?
Well, of course it isn't an every day or an every year thing, but I think, the respect that I have for Steve Sable and NFL Films, I know that they do things the right way. They call themselves the keepers of the flame, and we owe a lot to NFL Films for the history that they've kept and the way they present the game. So when they came to me about it with my 35th year in the league, the Patriots' 50th anniversary season, we talked about that aspect of history and decided to that we would try to accommodate him. You know, it wasn't something that we took lightly, but it was, you know, I'd say a one-time thing. And, you know, for better or for worse, that's, you know, there's a record of that season. Wasn't what we wanted, but it was a division championship, and we don't take that lightly. So we'll see what they come up with.
Did it make you self-conscious being mic'd for all of those games, or did you just get used to it? Two or three.
Yeah, I mean, I isn't the first game I've ever been mic'd for, but I think or practice, and you know, those things have come up from before from time to time. But you know, I think it's like anything else. After you've done it once or twice, you know, you somewhat get used to it. I don't think I can ever remember one time during the season when I actually consciously thought about it. Like, I better not say this or I better not say that. I have so much trust in NFL films and you know, the people down there and what they've done, that the trust and confidence in them to just do what I do and let them present it.
And this is a very thoughtful process, too. They've been working on this front. Obviously, it was the 2009 season. They've been working on this for a couple of years. Was that because they were trying to get it right? Were they going back and forth with you, showing you different footage for approval?
I think, you know, that's probably more of a question to ask them. But I think when we did it initially, the thought was to, you know, that it would be used for another day, that it wasn't a highlight film of the 09 season, or, you know, it wasn't intended for specific, you know, this is what it's going to be. It's, you know, we'll get some footage from the season, and somewhere along the line they felt like they would be able to use it. And so I guess this is what they came up with, but it's really the time frame and the way it, you know, that's really something that you know, I don't have anything to do with or know anything about. I'm a coach. I'm not a film producer.
You're right, though. The way they make those edits, the way they place that music in there. We played a couple clips in the other room, and Teddy was scared as hell. It was like deja vu all over again.
It was. They had only short clips of some of his talks with the team, and I could have finished every one of those speeches. I tell you, I'd heard them over and over again. Bill, they showed you on Nantucket, on the water. You can get any shots? You catching anything out there?
Well, you know, we'll have to see what they came up with. You know, I've had some good days and some other days that haven't been as productive. And same thing on the golf course. You know, I've had some good shots and put them out of bounds. So, no, hopefully they treated me well on that kind of stuff. But sure they did.
Be fascinating stuff to look at. September 15th, part one. September 22nd, part two. Final preseason game on Thursday. We'll do it all here next week, Bill.
All right, sounds
good,
Glenn.
Have a good week,
Bill.
Enjoy it, as always. We'll see you next week.
Right. You got it.